Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Hello from Columbus, folks. Welcome to Got Your Back, pre-trade deadline edition. Seems as though the bulk of the Oiler work is already done. Not sure how Oiler fan feels about that. I'm here to tell you, I think the bulk of the work is done. A couple new players being added to the lineup tomorrow. Jason Strudwick, Rob Brown standing by to break it all down. I'm coming at you from the mobile long shot studio all the way out here in Columbus. All game days, all day happy hour specials, $5 long shots lager at Long Shots. And as always, the podcast, the show is brought to you by our fabulous title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. They are the number one GMC dealership in all of Canada for 6 years running. Buy a new or used vehicle and mention the crew at Got Your Back sent you, and you'll receive specialized pricing, but also three free ultimate detail packages on a newer used vehicle. Visit Phil and the crew in Sherwood Park or online at www.gmcpod.com. As we welcome in the fellas. Brownie buddy, like, we're going to have to keep this guy in check. I did 15 minutes of overtime today on TSN 1050 with Strutty. He was flying high. Hi, he's a national guy now, Brownie. He's a our little boy has grown up. He's a national guy with all the ego and the trappings that come with the big stage.
Well, I did see him the other night during the Oiler game. I saw he was on the panel. He's all dolled up, looking sharp. I'm like, yeah. Wow. He's you're big time now.
He's getting some profile.
He actually didn't even show up to his other job on Monday. I'm supposed to skate with him every Monday. Didn't even bother showing up. Doesn't need the cash anymore, Shoggy.
Is that true, Steve?
Doesn't need the cash.
Yeah. I show up when I want to, and that's how it's going to be. Let's be clear, guys. Those are all true things. I'm on fire. But the true story of the day is that I called the right player to come to Edmonton over 2 years ago. I've been advocating for this guy.
48 seconds into the pod, I had under a minute. I win the bet.
NHL GM agreed with me. I mean, what's next? GM of a team in the NHL? I mean, I'm pretty busy trying to learn to play tennis, but you're welcome, Edmonton Oilers fans. You're welcome.
Whoa, before you throw your shoulder out, patting yourself on the back, let's see how it turns out.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Let's just see how it turns out first before you're like, the Strutty back, me.
I was out scouting the parade route today. As soon as I saw the trade, I started walking the parade route. Or wow. Route. Is it route or route? It can be both when you just call the trade like this.
How was overdrive today, buddy? That's you did the full show with those guys, hey?
Yeah. Every now and then they'll bring me in. It was fun. They're fun guys. I mean, they love juicing about the West versus East, and they didn't know what the capital of Saskatchewan was.
I heard you. By the way, Brownie, you should have seen it. He threw them hard under the bus. He started quizzing those guys on what the capital of the Western provinces were. Right. And they were kind of stumbling around because they proclaimed to be such supporters of the West. Yeah. Then they turned it around on him, asked him what the capital of Ontario was. He didn't know.
Strutty, come on, Strutty.
Oh, I didn't want to answer it. I was trying to be funny.
You like, didn't
I
know.
I knew what it was. I knew that it's what's that place? Winterburn or whatever it's called.
Toronto.
Sault Ste. Marie. Sault Ste. Marie, whatever it's called.
I'm an Ontario guy, Strutty. I grew up in Ontario. I was born there. I was born in Kingston, Ontario. Then I decided to come out to God's country when I was 13, and I've been here ever since. It's too cold to go anywhere else now. I'm stuck here.
Well, that's the good thing about this, right? We keep each other humble on our tiny little local podcast here where it's just us and an AM radio and whoever chooses to huddle around and listen to us. So we thank you for joining us here on Got Your Back. We got a trade to break down and a pile of people that are live on Twitter and on YouTube. that are wanting to dive into this thing, guys. So let's get to our breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton, founded in 1939, just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. Mr. Dirk has everything you need for every aspect of your wardrobe, casual stuff like jeans and pants and shirts and sweaters and shoes. And on the formal side, great selection of brand name suits, sport coats, and ties. They do customs as well. Check them out at MrDirk.com. So Adam Henrik, Sam Carrick. Henrik they get at a quarter his cap hit, just over $1.4 million. Carrick they get at half of his cap hit, $400,000 in change. They add a third line center and a fourth line center for under $2 million on the cap, but the price of that retention was their first round pick. Struds, we know they didn't want to give up their first round pick for player or players that don't have term, but really this was about improving this team and having to pay a price to do it and have it make sense on the cap.
Well, I've advocated not to trade that first round pick for a while, but when you can add two players like this that fill in areas that you need help on, which is the bottom six, I feel like after today's trade, I have a clear idea of what that bottom six is going to look like from the middle out, because I believe that Henrik will be the third line center and Carrick will be the fourth line center. So they addressed area of needs. They bolstered that up. And now there's some massive competition, Brownie, in that bottom six.
Well, there is. I think this trade has the Oilers are better. They're a better hockey club because of these two players. Whatever two players they take out of the lineup are not as good as the players they're putting in. They're strong down the middle. They're a better penalty killing team because both these guys are strong penalty killers. The one thing it doesn't answer is, and I know that Shoggy, you asked us to talk about the line combinations. It doesn't give us any answer of who's going to be playing on the second line now to me. I mean, it's an open audition right now still. But I do believe that the Oilers are a better hockey club and they have to be because as we'll probably talk about during the podcast later on, other teams in the Western Conference have gotten better over this last few weeks. The Oilers had to continue to push to get better. They gave up. Let's not worry about next year, the year after, because we don't have a whole lot of draft capital and we don't have a lot of prospects in the minors. But this is a win now team. And I do believe the Edmonton Oilers are a better hockey club today after these trades.
I characterize this on SportsCenter tonight as not overly flashy, but potentially pretty functional. Right, they didn't go out and land some big, flashy, you know, Gensel or Buchnevich or like they didn't go make that big splashy deal that I think some Oilers fans are still sitting there like that's still going to happen, right? Like that's coming next, right? I'm here to tell you it's not, barring something insane happening. Like these are the moves, and we'll get into maybe what's left in a couple of minutes. But I really believe, guys, that if they could not find that targeted second-line right winger, and I do believe they were looking for that player. I absolutely think that was a priority. But that deal was not there to be had. They couldn't find that deal. They couldn't find that player at the deal that made sense. So they're I don't want to call it a fallback position, but the next plan was to just get the functional center, which they did here. Struds, you know, Ken Holland talking to you, and we'll get to Ken Holland in just a second here, but do you believe that between now and the end of wherever the Oilers get to in the playoffs here, that Adam Henrik will play more third line center, or do you think they potentially have a solution here in their top six, which they didn't get?
Well, first off, just about a splashy addition. Ask the Rangers how Tarasenko and Kane worked yesterday, last year for them, right? Like it's there's no guarantee, and I think you got to be careful. The flashy is cool, but I think that just my thought of Henrik, he's like Nugent Hopkins light version. He's very smart, very good. He catches a lot of parts of your game. He can score. He's a very smart player. He's going to move around your lineup. So with that being said, I do believe he starts at the third line center. I truly believe that's where he starts. And then they're going to audition, to use your words, different people up on that in that other top six. And might be depending who they're playing. Do they want more speed? They want a little bit more size? They want a little more gamesmanship, whatever it is. But I think that Henrik starts at 3C, Carrick at 4.
You know, what's funny, Strides, I did radio earlier today, and I called him the exact same, RNH Light. He's a guy that does everything. He can with Anaheim, he touched everything. His power plays, penalties, 5-on-5. He took face-offs. I think when you're looking at the Oilers right now, and if they play, whether it's Vegas or LA in the first round, those teams are deep at center. They got big centermen. And I think right now, I don't know if there's a whole lot of trust in Ryan McLeod being your third line center, having to take a big faceoff in his own zone. He's not a great faceoff man. And you don't want to have to trudge out Leon all the time, because then you get hemmed in and now all of a sudden he's not playing with his regular line. They needed somebody that they can trust when they roll lines, that they can go out and win faceoffs and be good defensively. And I think with Henrique, if he plays on the third line, now you trust that you can play your third line against anybody. And what we saw in the playoffs last year with Vegas, their fourth line would go out against Connor. They didn't care because they had trust that defensively their team, all their lines could get it done. So I agree. I think Henrique will start as your third line center, and it makes them better because I think he gives them face-off wins and probably a little more experience in big moments than a McLeod would.
Yeah, I think McLeod will now be insulated by not having to lock down a third line center position. Like, a third line center position on a Stanley Cup winning team is so important. It's such an important position, and it just seemed a little bit out of reach for Ryan McLeod, Like, he's just not quite there yet. And now he's freed up to, if he wants to just wheel and gets an opportunity in the top six to go try and, you know, wheel with the big guys, he can definitely skate and make plays. He's shown that. But the pressure's kind of off here, Struds, for him to be something that he's struggling to truly mature into that role on a Stanley Cup contending team. This frees McLeod up a little bit, I view it as.
Yeah, if they thought he could do it, Adam Henrique probably wouldn't be here, right? Like, that's the way it works. So he's still a work in progress, but he's got a lot of nice attributes in his game. The speed is important. They're going to need the speed to get in the forecheck. So I think there's a conversation you have to have with McLeod if you're one of the coaches. Say, hey, you know what? You're most likely going to be a winger quite often now. So start thinking about that. What is my role now as a winger? It is to use your speed, drive the net, get in on the forecheck. Bang, shoot pucks. That's kind of the job. That's what he has to look at now. So not that he can never play center again, but I think for right now, that's his areas of focus, Brownie.
Well, and I mean, I've played both center and wing is way easier. Way less thinking. Way less thinking.
In your own zone.
No. I mean, that's where they put the big dummy.
Easiest spot on the ice.
No, winger, seriously, you got your D-man. Just don't let him score. Yeah. Don't let him jump by you. And there's a lot to like about Ryan McLeod, but most centermen, you like that they make their wingers better. They create for their wingers. Ryan McLeod, that's not his game. Ryan McLeod is all speed, get it in deep, get it in fast. He doesn't create a lot. He's not a great playmaker through the neutral zone. But what Ryan McLeod can do now is he can fly up the wing, and now he's got a centerman hitting him in full stride. And he's got an experienced player. And the thing that I've wanted all along for the Oilers at the trade deadline, get guys with experience that have been there before, that have played a number of games where they're never going to be overwhelmed. And now you got, if McLeod plays on your third line with Henrique, Henrique can talk to him, help him, guide him through hockey games without the pressure. Okay, McLeod, you're out there. They just threw Eichel out for a faceoff because you're caught on an icing. Now you have to win the draw. And they got Eichel out there with so-and-so. Do not get caught in your own zone. Now, simple. Henrique's going to take the draw. McLeod, just go to the point. Just don't let the shot get through. So I think that, yes, I agree with you, Struds. Henrique, it will start on the third line center in the playoffs, and it gives the Oilers a lot more confidence that they got a veteran guy there.
And just quickly, Shager, I think that we could look at these guys as potential additions for next year as well, right? I know that you know, Henrique's a little bit older, and you've got you know, Carrick's not a spring chicken either. But you know, if things go well here, there's a defined role for them, and then, you know, both, if the team does well, they might want to look and say, okay, maybe there's a chance for us to stay here and to continue our career. So I wouldn't be surprised if that is part of the thinking. Obviously, it's for short term, but I think they'd fit well next year for this group too.
We'll get to our projected line combinations in just a minute, though. But let's get to the Weiss Johnson sound box. The cold snap is soon over. There's still lots of winter ahead, though. Get that garage heated and enjoy the luxury of a nice, toasty, warm vehicle. Randy, my wife, loves it. We got the garage heated courtesy Weiss Johnson. She gets to park the vehicle in there and loves it in the cold snaps of winter, getting into a nice, toasty, warm vehicle. Check out weese-johnson.com. Ken Holland did a media availability today here in Columbus, and here's him discussing the two additions.
I talked to Pat almost daily over the last 10 days. What I like about the deal is we're adding two players. Both are versatile. One shoots right and can play right wing center, both penalty kill. Adam shoots left, can play left wing or center. Maybe he tries right wing. So we think we got some versatility, we got some depth. Both guys kill penalties. Both guys can play center. So felt we got deeper and the importance of penalty killing come playoff time, the importance of centers come playoff time, the importance of depth come playoff time were all factors in ultimately the decision to make the deal.
So where they will fit. Ken Holland talked today about how Henrique can play center and he can play left wing, and then he kind of said, maybe we'll try him out right wing. There's two line discussions to have. What do we think they will do? The players are flying in tonight, and they'll be at practice tomorrow. I assume both will be in the lineup tomorrow. So there's what do they do in the moment to get guys settled? We can maybe bat that around a little bit, but I'm more interested, guys, in what you think long-term the fit will be as far as lines go. When it really matters, what will the deployment look like? And I know there's a lot to be determined between here and there, but Brownie, what is your instinct on, what do you want to see and you think will work here with these new forwards?
What do I want to see or what do I think will happen? Because I think, honestly,
I want to know what you're interested in seeing.
Okay, well, because I believe right now the Oilers will start with Connor and Leon together to start the playoffs. And I think Nugent Hopkins and Kane will have an audition to see who's their right winger. That's what I think will happen. I think the fact that they're continuing to play them together for no other reason, I think they like them together. And I think we've seen that Leon has not had a lot of chemistry with other players in the second line. What I would like to see, I'd like to see Nugent Hopkins with Hyman and Connor. I would like to see Leon playing with Kane and then Holloway. I would like to see Henrik with Fogle and McLeod. And my fourth line would be Carrick at center. I would have Perry on the right wing. And then on the left wing, I'd have probably Janmark.
Okay, so we'll run that back. So you got the big guns together, 93, 97, and 18. Then you went Dylan Holloway with Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane. Is that what I saw?
Yeah, I did, but it'd be one of those. It would be Holloway / Perry. I think they'll flip-flop. I don't see any game in the Stanley Cup playoffs where the Edmonton Oilers start and finish with the exact same lines.
Yeah.
I think you want to get Perry ice time in top 6 minutes, but I don't know if you play him 18 to 20 minutes. I want to see Holloway get top minutes in the playoffs, but I don't know if they trust him yet to play 18, 20 minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I don't know if he'll get that runway between here and there to earn that. It feels to me like Dylan Holloway is almost locked in at fourth line left wing right now, unless he consistently outplays Warren Fogle, then I could see him maybe getting to that third line.
You asked what I would do.
Yeah,
You didn't ask what it's going to do.
No, I love what you're saying there. Yeah. Strugs, do you have any comments on what Brownie threw out there, and then we can get what you'd like to see?
No, I like it. I think those are the great thing right now, just as a big conversation, there's so many different options. They have so many different looks that they can do. So I think there's a chance to see a ton of different looks as we work our way from now to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Two new players and usable players, they're going to have options.
They are going to have options, but I do believe right now, we had John Shannon on our show the other day, and he said that Connor and Leon are like a drug, and you get addicted to them. And right now, they like Connor and Leon playing together, and they enjoy playing together. It would not shock me if game one of the playoffs you saw Connor, Leon, and Hyman as a line.
Yeah.
Whoever you're going to play against, say, hey, try and stop us.
Yeah. They often end up back together on the same line. Go ahead, Stretz.
I love Porto wine, but it doesn't mean I can have it every night. So I think that you have to spread it out a bit, right? So let's get to my lines here. I've got...
Let's get to the real deal.
Let's just jump here.
My goodness.
Oh. I've got Connor with Nuge and Hyman. That line is set.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the big line.
Next line would be McLeod, Leon, and Fogel. My next line, and this is the one that this is the piece de resistance. Piece de resistance. Kane with Adam Henrique and Corey Perry. And then I got Holloway, Double C, and Connor Brown on it. So
how many games Sam played Carrick would be on your third line?
Oh yeah, Connor Carrick.
That would be a very veteran third line with Kane, Perry, and Henrique.
So let me just, this is the way I'm thinking I'm going at this. Now I might flip-flop Nuge and one of either Fogel or McLeod, probably McLeod, but this, I want to see a third line that you can, as to talk to a little earlier, Brownie, have them out there against anyone, anytime. They know the game. There's some gamesmanship to steal your buddy's Bob Stauffer's lines. I like the way that line looks. And so that the challenge is a little bit, I might go, like I said, Nuge, Drysdale, and Fogel, and then McLeod, McDavid, and Hyman. But I just love the way that all those four lines set up. And I mean,
who's your fourth line again? Discussion. Who's your fourth line again?
Holloway, Sam Carrick. I got it wrong. And then obviously Connor Brown. He's going to explode with some goals here.
Ahead of Janmark?
So you got no Janmark?
Yeah. Janmark's out. Derek, not. I think those guys are going to play a role for sure. But this is like my game one.
They're going to play a role. What they're going to play, they're going to address 24 players. They're going to play a role.
No, no. As the playoffs go on, you know how it is. You're looking for different looks. And if I have one chance, one opportunity, as Dr. Dre said, I'm going with this line.
You're going a little rap there, weren't you? You were a little Eminem song.
If you have one chance,
it's from 6 Mile. It's Eminem.
Yeah, I love
6 Mile. It's 8 Mile. What is? I love
Young
MC. So old right now.
don't get bogged down in the details.
6 Mile.
Do not let the facts get in the way of a good story, Shaggy.
I'm sure we are the ones that been. I'm sure Dre produced that song. That's probably what Shreddy meant. Dre, I'm sure produced that song.
Yeah. Just don't get worried about the details. I never worry about details. Just keep moving along.
He just put Sam Carrick on our team, so don't worry about details. Or no, who's the other? Who'd you call? Connor Carrick.
Double C's.
My God. I'm the sick one here. You guys are a mess.
Oh, I know. So let's just all agree my lines are great, and let's go home.
No, the ego. The overdrive ego. Everybody. The overdrive ego is an overdrive.
Overdrive ego. Oh, God.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm curious to see.
Here we go.
I am curious to see the big line stay together, and I am curious to see Adam Henrique get a look with a really skilled player next to him. So I would be willing to give him a look on right wing, along with Draisaitl and Evander Kane. Now, Kane can play the right side too if he has to. It's not great when he does, but I Evander Kane in the top six is too important to this team, and I know they're having trouble making it work. I know that it's been a little bit of a grind here to find that chemistry, but I think when this team is clicking on all cylinders and beating good teams, Evander Kane has to be a big part of the equation, contributing in the top six. I believe that's the winning formula for this team. So I'm not willing to drop him down to a third line. As up and down as it's been all year, you need him in your top six in the playoffs. He's too much of a playoff-built player. So I got him, Draisaitl, and I'd like to see Henrique there. And then you can go Fogel, McLeod. You can play Janmark over on the other side if you want to. Holloway, Carrick, and then Corey Perry over on the right side. And then really, I mean, it's kind of like Holloway and Fogel, Perry and Janmark, they'll just jockey for position on those last two lines. Who's on which one, depending on... Perry's going to have some nights where he plays good guys and he gets elevated, but I am interested to see this new shiny toy they have. Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid have converted some pretty average players into some pretty statistically damn fine players, and I'd be interested to see what effect they could have on Henrique.
Yeah, you know what? I like Struds. I do like your lines, but the only problem is with it is the Oilers really, they really have only one power play unit. And come playoff time, they're not coming off after a minute. So if you have a Kane, for example, on your third line, he's not going to get power play minutes. And now he's not getting Leon Draisaitl minutes, 5-on-5. So now he's a third line guy getting 13, 14 minutes. And now you're taking Evander Kane out of the game. And I agree with Shoggy. When Evander Kane is on his game and being what they brought him in to be, he can change the game. Whether it, a goal, a fight, a hit, a forecheck, all of those things. So sometimes if you drop him that far down the lineup, you're losing about 5 or 6 minutes of Kane time.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I want to make this clear. This isn't I'm not punishing Evander Kane. I'm not relegating him to that line.
No, I like the line. Looks good.
No, I'm trying to build something that, you know, it's like, hey, we went and got a center, and we think you two can be a really great, you know, partnership, right? And so I think it's you're right about it. I'd like to see him play more, but I just a way of adding some balance to the lines. Mm-hmm. And you roll that third line out, the other team's like, oh, what's going on here, right? Like the wily old veteran. So,
well, that is a much more intimidating line than throwing out McLeod, Janmark, and Fogel.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
And I'd like to think they could get an identity and really take ownership of it. You got to get buy-in from everybody. I understand. I get that. But again, I'm not punishing him or suggesting that not playing well.
But while we sit here, you guys, excuse me, and we try and fist fight our way through what the top six or top nine look like, I think it once again shines a light on the fact that they're short of top six form. Mm. They just absolutely are. And it's not ideal. It's not ideal that maybe it's Ryan McLeod, maybe it's Warren Fogle, maybe it's Matthias Janmark, maybe it's Adam Henrique, you know, maybe it's Dylan Holloway. And these are all players outside of Henrique. Every one of those players I just mentioned has had the opportunity sitting in front of them all season to grab it, and nobody has. The closest thing we've seen is Warren Fogle. Nobody has grabbed it. And so the only new thing is Adam Henrique to see if maybe he can, because nobody else has.
That's a really good point, Shoggy, because there's not every team's top six has six guys at the beginning of the year where you say, okay, these are six star players, or these are six quality top six players. Every team has a guy that comes in and surprises. And, oh, wow, this centerman or this Matthews is so good, he made this guy a player. Crosby's so good. Kucherov, so good. The Oilers have had a number of players, as you said, audition for that. And every player that has gone up there has had a spurt where they're like, okay, maybe this is the guy. And then 3 games later, okay, nope. The consistency wasn't there. So they went to the next guy. So that's a great point that just about everybody has had a look there and not one of them has grabbed it. And you think about the opportunity. I mean, Leon Draisaitl is the best passer in the National Hockey League. He's top five players in the world. And you've got an opportunity to play there. Everyone has that one brief flash of greatness, and then they fall away. And I think that, so I can understand you with the Henrique thing. He's coming here. He's like, okay, wait a second. I've just played with the Ducks for the last whatever number of years. The line mates that I've had to play with, the losses that I've had, all of a sudden you're saying, I get to play with Leon? Oh, God, I will do whatever you want for me. You want me playing the right wing? I'll play with my stick upside down. I don't care because I want that opportunity.
How about this one I'm just going to throw this idea out there. And it was sort of mentioned on our last podcast, Brownie, which you weren't on. How about this? You're in Columbus. You're playing the Blue Jackets. It's a new day. There's new faces, new challenge, fresh start for certain guys, a whole new feel against a team that you should probably be able to beat. What if you roll out with Connor Brown on one of your top two lines? Just see. Just get him a goal. Get him a goal. Get him out there with McDavid. Get him out there. Just get him a goal and see what happens. It's Columbus.
Well, and Columbus gives up chances. What if you put Brown with Kane and Draisaitl? Now you get to see Henrique with whatever line mates you want, Fogler and McLeod. Yep. I mean, yeah.
Just but, saying, it's probably ideas. A terrible idea. Probably a terrible idea. No, it's probably not
going to
happen.
No,
it's what he was brought here for.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, who knows? Maybe it'll just
fresh start.
Maybe it'll just start. Maybe it'll just start happening.
Yeah. I don't see. I'm not as tech savvy as you guys, so I don't get to see the stream or whatever you guys call it where the people are all texting. And I'm sure that most of them are in favor of that.
Yeah.
One that you just said there.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Listen, it's not an outrageous. Because he was brought here to do it. He hasn't been able to live up to that.
Just get him a goal.
Fresh start. I can't wait to see what they do tomorrow. I cannot wait to see what the lines look like. And yeah, you know, I do think they split the top two guys up. I really do, Brown. But I understand what you're saying. I get it.
Oh, I would split them up. I would. Yeah. But I just don't know if they're going to.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to our relentless person of the night. And Strutty, you might want to give this to a GM. You might want to give this to one of our insiders. You might want to give it to anybody who you think had themselves a little bit of a day today. But our relentless person of the day, brought to you by UCAN Youth Services, helping at-risk youth find employment. Great local charity, hosting their upcoming Comedy Night fundraiser with 6 shows in March. They've got some tickets left. Got Your Back is going to be there. So visit UCAN.ca. Tell them that Got Your Back sent you, and you'll get a deal on tickets, 4 for the price of 2. So make sure you get them while they last. Brownie, last night on the podcast, Struds and I paid tribute to our great buddy Kyle Dubé, who tragically was lost the other day. I know you knew him as well. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity tonight to say a couple words about him, because I know you had some experience with the big guy.
I did. A friend. I've coached his one son, Liam, for 2 or 3 times. He played with my son. They were the same age. One of the nicest people I've ever met. His entire family, incredibly nice people. You're the one that called me on Sunday, I believe it was. And it was a kick to the gut. I was shocked. That family has gone through way too much sadness. It shows that life ain't fair. My heart breaks for them. Heaven is a better place today, because Kyle is up there, but the world down here isn't as good a place because he is that good a person. Yeah. So we are going to miss him. We are going to miss him. And my love goes to his family, who are dealing with too much tragedy for any family to go through. So absolutely horrible, horrible that Kyle's no longer with us.
Yeah. Well said, Brownie. And I'm glad you got a chance to share those sentiments, because I know how you felt about the big guy. We were saying yesterday, man, he would text me like daily about this pod. He listened all the time. Of course, they're, you know, our charitable partner, UCAN. And he loved the whole idea of Relentless. That was his, right? That's his podcast. He came up with a podcast called Relentless, where he would actually have people come on the show and tell stories about the ways in which they've been relentless in their life in pursuing their goals. And so that's where this whole Relentless concept came from, right? From his brain, his podcast. I was lucky enough to guest on it. And so that's the genesis of this segment, our Relentless player of the game, our Relentless person of the day. Strutty, who would you like to anoint today? Bit of an awkward day, no game, but what do you got?
Yeah. Well, I think this is pretty obvious, guys. Like, you look at someone who's been...
Are you calling your own number?
Relentless in the pursuit of a single player.
You could see this
he's
coming.
He's doing it.
It's been about 2.5 years that this person's been single-mindedly focused on achieving a goal and bringing the right player into this team. Was it a GM? Nay. I say no. This guy didn't know what a coach? No. Was another host on this pod? No. I am calling my own number. Jason Stradock, relentless on the pursuit of Adam Henrique. And for that, every Oilers fan should be thanking me. So
Kyle is laughing. My own number.
If you were only as relentless at making a first pass out of your zone, you would have had another 8 years.
You wouldn't be podcasting with me right now, with us right now, that's for sure. And you wouldn't be slumming on overdrive. All right, that was Jason Strudwick, our relentless analyst of the year, brought to you by UCAN Youth Services. We went over time, guys. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up next for the Oilers, right? The search for a D-man, who could it be? We'll hear a little bit more from Ken Holland. We'll get to the stream as well. Lots more show ahead. Strutty.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
All right, time now for takeaways, brought to you by Redefined Health. If you're an athlete, you know how taxing sports can be on your body. At Redefined Health, they help athletes like Brownie and I achieve better overall performance and prevent injuries. Adding professional treatment to your training can be the missing link to pushing yourself to the next level. Let the team at Redefined Health help you perform at your peak. Visit RedefinedHealth.com and see Dr. Tyler Phipps. How's Kenny Holland feeling about his blue line, gentlemen? That was a question that was put to him today of what else potentially he could be going out there to do. We speculated that it would be a depth defenseman, but we'll go back to the Weiss Johnson soundbox right away and use our jumping off point for this segment as Ken Holland's comments on his blue line.
I am going to continue to talk to teams about another defenseman, a veteran defenseman. We'll see. I mean, it depends what's available, depends what the cost is. Obviously, spent some draft capital over the last 2, 3, 4 years, and again today. So cost will factor in. We like the six that we've got. I would think that if we do something, we're bringing in somebody to be number seven. You know, how aggressive are we with draft capital for someone to come in here be a number seven? So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what the next 48 hours brings. Okay.
I would think if we're going to do something, we would be bringing someone in here to be number seven. Struds, What do you think, buddy? Is it enough? Are they going to have enough if they bring in a number seven?
I don't think they have a choice. I mean, who are the D-men? Like, show me the D-men that are out there that are 4, 5, 6, and the Dodgers have draft capital to get, and they can fit in the cap space. You know,
but point being, is it enough? Like, maybe they didn't need to spend as much up front. Maybe they could have shored themselves up on the blue line. I'm just saying, and I'm not suggesting that's the case, but you look at their blue line and then think Stanley Cup final, and you look at what Vegas just did, Colorado, like, this Dallas. Blue line is not where those other blue lines are. Respectfully, it's different.
It's like the blue line that won against the Oilers, Carolina Hurricanes. No Great stars. Players. Everyone's got their job. And before that and since then, every one of them has pretty much had a high-end D-man. Like, I'm talking Norris Trophy winner. Yeah. And Dodgers don't have that. So, and you're not getting it. So you got to build well, insulate as a team. And like that Carolina Hurricanes team, you look back at those guys, they had talent up front, but their D-man was solid. Not exceptional. Everyone had a job, but they were solid. The talent was with the forwards, Brownie.
Well, I agree that the Oilers' D isn't what Vegas has or isn't what Dallas has, but Dallas and Vegas don't have Connor and Leon, so teams are built differently. The Oilers have got the two best forwards. The Oilers right now, again, they've been so fortunate for the last couple of years, especially this year, with health of their defense. And I said before this trade deadline started that if the Oilers, if this sixth defense, I trust this sixth defense could win them a Stanley Cup. I think it's good enough. But if someone gets hurt in their six, that's where they're going to find trouble. Broberg, they say he's killing it in the minors, but I've played in the minors. Big difference between the NHL and the minors. I killed it in the minors too, and I came up and I was in the fourth line at the end of my career in the NHL. So there's a big difference. Is Broberg good enough if Ekholm goes down to all of a sudden step in game 5 against the LA Kings or the Vegas Golden Knights? They need somebody to come in as a seventh defenseman that's got experience, that has been there before, that won't be overwhelmed by a situation, because whoever they're bringing in, the only way they're playing is if something they're being put into a situation they weren't expected to be in. So I think whoever the Oilers get, they have to have experience, have had playoff hockey under their belt, and will not be the moment won't be too big for them. So I don't know who that player is, but I think that's what they need. Throw it, toss it,
and they can pick him up Saturday in Buffalo. Johnson,
Owen Power. Oh, okay,
Eric Johnson.
I'd rather have Owen Power, but
yeah, well, I think that's the guy.
That's a great call. He's been there. He's been in that position. Yep.
Yeah, he knows what it's like. He's a big body. I think that might be the guy. That makes sense. I think he's being held out. He's not playing tonight against Toronto. So
I like it, Struds.
Hey, can I throw a name? Right way. Can I throw a name out there? It's come up a few times on the stream, and it's one I've been thinking of too, and we haven't really talked about it here.
Hi, buddy.
Is Joel Edmondson, and they talked about getting him last year. He's already retained half. You know, he's at 1.7. on the final year there, and he's a big, big guy, right defenseman, right shot defenseman, and went to the finals with Montreal that year, I believe, right? So he's got, I don't know if he has a cup, but he's got a deep run experience. What do you guys think about that possibility?
Yeah, that's a great add-in, Zuby. Thank you for that. And a good suggestion. His name's kind of been, you know, batted around out there. More than anything, he's got 44 games under his belt this season. So whatever injury troubles that maybe he was stumbling his way through before, you know, he's playing, and he's playing some pretty significant minutes. I like it, Struds. I like it. I like the experience. I like the gamesmanship. I am told he is the ultimate guy in the room, the ultimate teammate, just the absolute right person to inject into a room, which matters for a guy that's not going to be in the lineup. So I don't mind that one either, especially at that dollar figure, already halved.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what they wanted. Edmondson, a Jack Johnson, something along those lines, someone that has been there before. Because you can't honestly believe that the Oilers are going to go injury-free on the back end. At some point, someone's going to miss a game. So they need to have an experienced player back there that they can throw in.
Shreds, what do you think?
Yeah, I think both those guys are options. I think Johnson makes, I think it's $2.5 million, if I remember correctly. So the money works better with Washington's...
Edmondson.
You know, Edmondson, yeah.
Yeah, so I think those are the kind of guys, big guys that have been there, done that. And didn't Edmondson, didn't he win a Stanley Cup with the Blues?
I believe so.
I think he was on that team.
Yeah, I covered that team, so I'm pretty sure he was there. Yeah,
like those are the guys. Like one of either of those two guys, you don't necessarily need them playing every night, but they're able to play, you know, in spot duty. So like you know, games, not seasons.
Yeah, no, 100%.
The other name that I hear a little bit here and there is Megna, big guy. Right, Jacob Megna, 6'6", 220, Chicago.
He was with San Jose is where we have seen him the most, for sure. He's good. He's been good. I know that I was on with Bob Stauffer today, and he mentioned those are the two he talked about, Edmondson and Megna, both guys.
There's another guy, too, in Arizona, Brown.
Oh, Josh Brown. Yeah,
that was the other guy. Like those are the kind of, like, what does that get you? Shocker, is that a fourth round or fifth rounder? Like, I don't think you're...
Yeah, no, if that, I would think. Maybe if you're asking them to retain some money too and that sort of thing. Then
like, I think that's the pool you're fishing out of, I believe.
Yeah. We didn't talk enough about Sam Carrick in that first segment. And I know it's the fourth line and it's fourth line center, but let's maybe discuss that, guys. I think we've all, as we've been watching these games, had the feeling that it's just not good enough low down in their lineup, that the fourth line, there's just not enough pop, size, sandpaper, identity. It's just sort of a collection of the guys that aren't good enough in the moment to be in the top nine. I think by doing this, and Brownie, you made the point that both players are going to come out. The players that are in now are better. But Carrick, to me, is a better option at fourth line center than anything else the Oilers have had in there so far this year. And I'll even push back to last year. Like this is what this player is. It's what he's there for. Kill penalties, be physical, not afraid to drop the gloves if he has to, and be a fourth line center.
Well, he's abrasive. And I think that's what you want in your fourth line is someone. Imagine if the Oilers decide Corey Perry, you're going to play in our fourth line. So you got Perry playing with Carrick and throw Holloway over there. And all of a sudden, all right, you know what? I go out there and start something, create something, be physical, get pucks in deep. I mean, you know that after every whistle in the playoffs, Corey Perry's going to have his hand in someone's face. Now you got Carrick in there. Again, it's a subtle ad. I went through a couple of weeks ago, we were talking on our other show about trade deadline pickups. And almost every year, the team that won the Stanley Cup, this is the type of players they picked up. And one of whoever wrote the article said, if you need a big splash, you weren't good enough to start with. So I think this is one, okay, these guys are fitting in to this team. They're not coming in to change the team. They're just trying to come in and fit in. And Carrick on their fourth line, we saw what Vegas had on their fourth line. Their fourth line was good. And they went out there and changed the complexion of games with physicality. And they didn't have to hide them. So I think that's what you got with Carrick. You got an abrasive player that understands his role and can excel at his role. And I think the Oilers' fourth line is better because of it.
Yeah, just quickly, you know what, to use your word, Shager, last year he was surgical with Ekholm, and this year he did the same thing. He identified a need and went out and addressed it. And so I think the team is stronger and more complete with the two ads they put in here today.
All right, lots of great comments coming in on the stream, and we're going to get to those coming up in our Ask Us Anything segment. A reminder, Brownie's appearance on the podcast is brought to you by Kin Print. That sharp-looking hat there, buddy. High-quality apparel, promotional products to take your brand to the next level. Visit kinprint.ca. Lots more trade discussion coming up over the next few segments. But when we come back, we'll take a break. And we'll give Struggs the spotlight because, you know, he hasn't had enough of that today. Struggy's World coming up.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park in Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
I got punched. No, I skipped the Struddy's World intro. Do you want me to play it?
No, no, no. That's fine. We've had more than enough of Struddy today. Let's skip that intro. Let's get to Struddy's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum, one of our newest partners. If you haven't had the experience of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, do yourself a favor and grab a bottle today. The Brindley family's been crafting Shipwreck in small batches for decades. Spiced rum, aged 4 years in bourbon barrels infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwrecked, Oiler fans. Available at your local liquor retailer. And as always, please enjoy responsibly. Struds, you were asking us during the break, are we going serious? Do we want joking? We're kind of going to throw the ball back in your court and say, you know, you're the ace today. You bring what you think your best stuff is. Is it off the grid or is it hockey or what do you got?
Guys, just like you, I put my pants on one leg at a time. So I want this to be.
What is that even mean?
So you guys.
You have to tell yourself that before you get dressed each day. One leg at a time.
Okay, right. Here goes the other leg. And then I'm going to do that leg.
Okay, I'll save the good time ones for another time. Let's do a serious, hockey. More serious hockey related ones. Okay. It's very,
very good.
Oh, okay, now I go. All right. So today we saw a lot of trades out there, and there's actually a hockey trade in there. Casey Mittelstadt, a good young player for Buffalo, was traded for Bowen Byram out of Colorado. So I think for Colorado, this makes a lot of sense. You know, he's their second line center, going to get a nice contract. They moved out Ryan Johansson to Philly in the trade for Sean Walker. So I like it. That whole thing makes sense. Buffalo, they added Bowen Byram, a left shot defenseman. Who do they have above him? They have Rasmus Sundin and Owen Power, left shot defenseman. So if I'm Bowen Byram, yeah, I want it out. Maybe, or I'm not saying that, but maybe there's a new opportunity. Okay, where did I get traded? Where? Sorry, they got two other guys. So is he going to get power play time? Unlikely, unless he plays the other side. Is he going to get PK time? He might, maybe as a group of four. But those guys are getting a bunch of time, both sides. So they've changed their look, I think, with their team there in Buffalo. And moving Mittelstadt out, a guy they it sounds like they didn't want to pay. But now I think they have a problem with too many stud left shot defensemen who will also want to get paid as far as Bowen Byram goes. So guys, interesting move. I don't think this is a long-term solution for Buffalo. I get the idea of it, but I'm not sure that in principle it really makes them any better or a stronger team moving forward, more balanced.
It's funny. I love the trade for Colorado. I really did. And yep. One of the reasons they got rid of Johansson, who was a bust, but they got Mittelstadt to come in as second line center. They've got we talk about we have the best line in hockey here. I'm sure Colorado thinks the same. with McKinnon and Rantanen. And now they got a quality second line center. And what they did is they got rid of a player in Bowen Byram, who was a really good defenseman, but he was redundant there because they've already got Cale Makar and Samuel Girard and Devin Taves can move the puck. So they said, all right, we've already got this, this what Byram does. He's never going to play ahead of Makar here. So we're going to move him for something we need. Now that goes to your point, Struds. So the Buffalo Sabres said, okay, we already got two power play defensemen on the left side who are going to be our studs and are going to be playing 25 minutes a night. Let's go get another one of them. So I 100% agree with you. This was a great trade for the Colorado Avalanche. I think they're a better team because of it. But on Buffalo's side, where are you playing them? One of those guys has to go to the opposite side, and you're asking a superstar to go away from where he wants to play to fit someone else in.
And just to clarify, I think you said Sandin, Struds. It's Dahlin who people will remember.
Yeah.
No, that's okay, buddy. And, and just to clarify, because Dahlin is, I mean, he was number one overall pick, I believe, was he not? Mm-hmm. Just an unreal young defenseman that is, I mean, this guy is going to munch minutes for decades in this league. Owen Power, basically the same thing. And if you look at the history.
He was first overall, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you look at the history of this, what, like, when are teams going to learn that redundancy when it comes to skilled defensemen never works? Seldom does it work. Like, I remember who just did it. The Toronto Maple Leafs tried to do it. They brought in Tyson Barrie. They already had Morgan Rielly, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh Penguins just brought in Eric Carlson. They already got Chris Letang floating around.
San Jose Sharks, Brent Burns, yep. Eric Carlson.
Brent Burns, Eric Carlson. The one time I would say where it's probably worked, Studs, would be Anaheim when they had Pronger and Niedermeyer together at the same time, because those guys are just all world too big to fail. But it doesn't work when you double up skilled defensemen. There's not enough pucks. There's not enough ice. There's not enough sugar time to go around. And these guys need that to shine. So Struds, I think it's a great Struds world and a great point.
And actually, Buffalo didn't double up. They tripled up. They now got three guys that are minute eaters. So yeah, it was great, great trade for Colorado. But I agree with Struds. That was not one that makes a lot of sense for Buffalo. And now they got to pay because Byram's ain't got one more year left. And now he's going to want a big raise.
So you have three massive deals on the back end. So I wonder, there's no way they're moving those first two guys. I think Bowen Byram won't be long in Buffalo, if I'm guessing.
Can we discuss what Vegas's blue line and what Colorado's blue lines look like? And I mean, like, they're loading up here, man. You go Devon Taves and Cale Makar. You got Girard and Manson.
Walker.
They just grabbed Walker. Sorry, like, they're deep, man. These blue lines are good. Vegas's blue line got better here as that deal gets completed. These are significant blue lines, Struddy.
They are. The good thing is you can only play two of them at a time. So, you know.
Maybe that's what they're going to do in Buffalo. Maybe they're going to play three defensemen at a time there.
So, you know, I think the thing about Colorado is their top end is so high. Like, Cale Makar is such a huge – and we saw him have a great series against Connor McDavid. But the odds of the Oilers playing him, them again, Colorado's got a hard road to get to the Western Conference Final. And then you go to Vegas. Vegas, I don't like the add of Mantha. I don't think that Mantha on the wing, he doesn't bring tempo. He can score. There's no doubt he can shoot. But when I watch him play, I don't think, oh man, I don't want to play against this guy. Like, that's the guy I want on the ice because he's not forechecking me that hard or hitting me that hard. Now Stone being out, that's a big issue as well. Their D is going to be stacked. So if it's, you know, is it Petrangelo and Hanifin, and then he got McCabe and
Theodore.
Yeah.
And then Haig and Whitecloud. You have Martinez.
Who's won a Stanley Cup. Stanley Cups.
Yeah. And then Ben Hutton as your eight. So, I mean, that's good. That is good. But their forwards, I'm not sure that, you know, they're like, oh my God, they're blowing you away. Tough. But those D are good.
The thing that Vegas is going to do, because they got great goaltending too, they're in every game. And in a playoff series, they're in every game. Yeah. So they're going to try and beat you 3-2. So they are good. Vegas got better. Colorado got better. Dallas got better. We'll see what the Vancouver Canucks do over the next 24 hours. And to me, the one I'm surprised they haven't done anything yet is the LA Kings. The LA Kings, they've got a Doughty. They got Kopitar. Those are guys that nearing the end of their careers, they got to take advantage of them, and they haven't in net. So I thought that maybe they would make some big play to get a Binnington or something like that. Because if you get a Binnington or someone, a quality goaltender, the LA Kings will be a tough out in the playoffs because they are deep up front. They got good defense, but their weakness is in net. And you know that weakness in net does not get you far in the National Hockey League playoffs.
All right, getting word that we might be having some stream issues on YouTube or on Twitter, so bear with us, folks. We'll do the best we can. Brownie, time for us to let you go, though, buddy. Thank you kindly, and talk again soon, Paul.
Well, thanks. Good seeing you guys, Strutty. That was one of your best ever, Strutty's World. I was impressed.
Oh, he's going to name himself Gem of the Night here in about 15 minutes.
Guys, it's actually, I'm on fire today, guys. I don't know what.
I am the gem of the night.
Reward the performance. Reward greatness, guys. Let's call it.
G-O-A-T, the goat.
We'll take a lap right after the break.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximum Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Time for Strutty and I to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet, and they are now even better with Backscape 2.0. Check out this thing. Engineered for back shaving, the new friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap it in and out of the handle there to touch up the rest of your body as well. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that will respect your skin. Go to backscape.com, use the promo code GYB10. For 10% off your first order. That's GYB10 is a promo code for the advanced 2.0 kits. It's backscape.com. Strutty, lots of other trades around the National Hockey League to talk about today. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the one that I don't really understand. Well, I understand from Florida's perspective, but Ottawa locked themselves into a deal with Vlady Tarasenko at $5 million with a no-movement clause. Tarasenko said, I want to go to Florida. And Ottawa said, okay, that sounds good. So they got him for really a song down there. And this isn't Tarasenko from, you know, half dozen years ago, but the guy can still shoot, one-shot score. So nice pickup by Florida. But, you know, the previous GM, not Steve Staios, but the previous GM, you know, I maybe had to have that negotiation to bring a no movement clause, but that's a hard one when you have your hands are tied and you don't get the return you want.
Yeah, and I know Oiler fans, there were some that were really clamoring for Tarasenko. But as Dregs tweeted today, like that no trade really locked them in, right? Basically, and apparently Tarasenko's family is down there. That made it really, really hard. I think people kind of need to remember that when these players have these no moves. It's tough business to do, but it was kind of that strange little window of time where Ottawa felt like they were going to turn it really fast. And started like spending and bringing guys in, and this guy and Giroux and that guy, and what a letdown for the organization. And so Pooley, Dave Poulin, and Steve Staios and company, they got a little maneuvering to do to kind of get themselves out of a couple of these situations. But yeah, wasn't a fantastic look today. By the way, Buchnevich, I think I say his name wrong. He's got a modified no trade as well. And reports out of St. Louis, like I heard Dregs talking on the radio today. He was saying, you know, they heard this morning, probably not going to get moved, and then likely not. He's got some saying where he goes to. And I think, you know, before you clamor too much for a guy, take a look at that no movement situation and factor in whether it ever really would have been an option for the Oilers or not in both, you know, Tarasenko or Buchnevich.
And then another kind of under the radar trade that I really like, Wennberg goes from Seattle to the Rangers. And I think, you know, a lot of other trades got a lot more hype. I feel like this one was under the radar a little bit. And I'm not saying the Rangers are done, but compared to what they did last year, you think about the big additions in Kane and the Tarasenko, they bring in Wennberg, who is, you know, plays in Seattle, a little bit under the radar, good centerman, you know, just kind of a little bit like Henry, kind of like that kind of, you know, just kind of does a little bit of everything. But
better skater, isn't he? Isn't he a bigger, better skater than Henry?
Yeah, probably it's fair. But I mean, I don't know that he's well above where he's at, but it was under radar, but I like that kind of under the radar hiccup by the Rangers and not a big splash. And that's with all due respect to the player.
Yeah, left shot centers only got 9 goals going this season. We talked about Byram. We talked about the Mittelstadt deal. We talked about the Sean Walker deal as well. Tarasenko, Mantha, we dealt with the other day. Maybe just let's touch on the Calgary situation. Then we're going to do a little bit of extra time in our Ask Us Anything segments. But looking like this Hanifin deal gets done here, you know, we knew that there was going to be movement out of Calgary. I heard you talking on Overdrive today, though, about Markstrom and whether that deal gets done too. So here they're losing their best defenseman and then potentially their starting goalie. Like, what do you think the messaging here is? And is it a little bit tough for players that have tried to keep themselves in the fight?
You knew that the two D-men were going to be traded. I think if you're on that team, you expected it. This team has worked really hard. New coach Ryan Huska has done a good job to make them, you know, playoff contenders. A lot of that's been on the play of Markstrom. He's helped them a ton. So if you all of a sudden trade Markstrom, the message is clear that maybe it's unfair to phrase it this way, Shocker, but the management has given up on this season. That's the message you're sending to that room. Now, the future looks probably brighter because of the additions you've gotten. And I'm guessing Hanifin will be another prospect, another player, whatever, you know, similar to what we kind of saw from Tanev. But the Markstrom deal, if you do that, you're saying, guys, we're giving up. And then it is a death march through Russia for like Napoleon's army, trying to get through the rest of this season.
By the way, I watched that movie the other day, the Napoleon movie. Did you watch the Napoleon movie?
I haven't. I think I might tee it up tonight and see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm not quite understanding your infatuation with the guy. Based on this movie, it was not very flattering.
Okay, I'll check it out. Yeah, good and bad. Obviously, he was a divisive character.
I do have some reporting from Eric Francis saying the holdup on the Hanifin deal revolves around the involvement of a third party offering up salary retention, which has become the norm in deals these days. Zuby just sent that off to me. Okay, we're going to wrap up, take a lap, because we want to spend a little bit extra time and Ask Us Anything. So a very quick message from Belvedere Golf and Country Club. And when we come back, we'll get to some of the great comments that have been streaming in our Weiss Johnson YouTube mentions. So stay with us.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Right time now to get to Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. If you've only got time for one before the game, make it a frosty 25-ouncer at Match Ice District. Enjoy the supersized steins on select beers. Match Eatery and Public House is located adjacent to Rogers Place in Granville Casino. For more info, check them out at matchpub.com. Zuby, lots of great conversation happening on the live stream tonight. I see some arguing back and forth, lots of talk about Fogle out and a better defenseman in. Where do you want to take us, pal?
Ryan, where did I want to start? Penner's Pancakes said, can't believe how many people are flipping out over the first round pick. Henrique and Carrick is a huge upgrade on Brown and Ryan. Shane Matheson adding my guess, Derek Ryan and Brown get scratched. What do you think is the early thought there going forward? Who comes out if both those guys come in? Is that the conventional wisdom?
Brown. I mean, well, Brown, right? Gagne was sent down. Brown and Ryan would be my thought, Struds.
I think it's Brown stays in. I think Janmark comes out.
Really? They just had the guy up in the top six.
Yeah, he plays on the right side.
He's been playing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and this just my gut. I just honestly, I think that it'll be Brown. I think Brown's going to be in there. And maybe that's just my own bias. I want him to score, but I do think.
Yeah. I mean, I just suggested he play in the top six. Well, a funny suggestion. But anyway, we'll see. I'll be at practice tomorrow morning. They're on the ice for morning skate tomorrow here in Columbus. And I will I'll be in a race with Tony Brouwer to tweet out the lines. So we'll see. See who gets it out first. And Jack and Bob and I.
So on the thought of still, you know, Shaga, your contention that they still are short a top six forward, a top six winger. Sure. Roshan Nelson says, would you trade Fogle to the Devils for Tyler Toffoli, yada yada, plus picks and Borgo for clarity on right wing? Is that enough of an upgrade there? And then Ricky AZ adds, apparently Kraken cutting off talks with Eberle, who wants 3 years. There's your right winger. Obviously, it would be, even with retention, probably salary out to get one of those guys. So would you move Fogle for either one of those guys? Is that a clear upgrade in the top six in your mind?
So it would be Fogle plus draft capital to meaningfully address that position in the top six. That's like bottom line. That's what it would have to be. Sure. And yeah, I mean, I think if you can upgrade your top six and it costs you Warren Fogle and some draft capital, but again, it's how much, and they still have to add a defenseman too. Like, they have to shore up their blue line. They have to. So you can't leave yourself short there. I really do believe that the deals they made today prohibit that type of deal from happening. That's the sense that I get, barring a surprise study. But yeah, of course Tyler Toffoli would look good in the Oilers' top six. The guy scores a ton of goals, and he's an absolute gamer. But I don't know if it's there to be had.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You can't just strip mine the whole organization for, you know, the quote-unquote all-in move. Yeah, I'd love to see that move made. You'd have to let me know the specifics of what the trade would be, because I feel like you're not going to get them for cheap because other people are going to want them as well.
And on top of what they've already done, like, Strud's, one of the careful things here is chemistry, right? Like, too many moves. We saw the Maple Leafs had some trouble with it. Like, it seems to me he was able to add a couple players today, but I don't know that there's going to be a fundamental shift in chemistry. It's a couple new bodies, clear upgrades. I think the players will feel pretty good about the changes, but not a huge apple cart shakeup.
No, but these people go exactly where they need to go, because maybe it wasn't getting done in that way. So I think it's a good spot.
Boba Fett says, school is in session for McLeod and Holloway, with Perry and Henrique showing them how to play in the hard areas and with gamesmanship. I mean, how do you guys feel about, you know, not only the ads of those players, but the trickle-down effect it can have to some of the young guys?
Struts.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. You watch and you learn. I know when you're a younger player, you just watch the other guys. How do they behave? How do they have different situations? A win in the playoffs, a loss in the playoffs, all those things you're watching and learning from them. So, yeah, it's great. And Perry and Henry can still contribute on the ice, and then these guys can follow. So that's how it works. And you hope you create a culture where those young guys are now doing the same thing 10 years from now.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. I mean, if you – we got to remember, like, what this team looked like before they had Corey Perry. And if we go back to before they had Corey Perry, and I'd have said to you, Struds, that in a month and a half, the Oilers are going to have Corey Perry, Sam Carrick, and Adam Henrique. Like, remember what this team looked like before they made the Perry move, right? And that was, it was no guarantee that was going to happen. So yeah. pretty significant improvement.
Yeah. Big time improvement. Zuby, you got another one, buddy?
Yeah, we got the Shager pause now. We might have to. Yeah. This is like before. Oh, no, that's you moving. Okay, I do have another one. This is off the rails here. Okay, there was a fair bit of discussion about Shager, if you can hear me, maybe I'll kick you and bring you back in again while Strutty and I work on this last one. I think that's what's going to have to happen. He says, keep going without me. Okay, I will disconnect him. We'll see if he comes back.
Finally, it's just you and me, buddy.
Yeah, oh
finally.
My goodness. Now it's now what
we're
the
rolling. People want.
Okay, so lots of discussion about who did the best today, right? Let's compare it. Who did better? So Nate Hay 77 says, who would you rather have at the end of the day? And they're not directly comparable, but Mantha Hanifin is what Vegas added. Walker Mittelstadt is what Colorado added. And Henry Kirk, or what the Oilers added, take into account the individual need. And of course, the Oilers didn't lose any active assets, right? Just draft picks.
Yeah.
So
I really like what Colorado did, because they didn't have a second line center. I didn't like Ryan Johansson trade when they traded for him. And now it was clear, like, he's not that up-tempo guy that the Colorado likes to play. So now they bring in Casey Mittelstadt, who will fill that spot as a second line center. They're gonna have to pay him this summer, but he's there now. You know, then you move out Byram and you bring in obviously Walker and for a first rounder. So I think he also helps them kind of feel. I wonder if he maybe doesn't re-sign with them in this offseason. A little cheaper than maybe what they thought they get Byram for. So everyone's thinking ahead. So I'll go with those. I'll go with Colorado.
Okay. Josh Vanderzweig asks, do you think the Oilers would take a run at Tony DeAngelo? We haven't mentioned his names before. He says, where does Carolina is willing to retain 50% for a fifth or sixth round pick? His cap hit would be right around 850. Good depth on the
right side. So my question is, why are they going to trade him? You know, they're a pretty good team. They probably think they need the depth as well. I'd have to go and look. I don't know if they have, are they as deep as what Vegas has on D-men? I don't know that anyone is. So, you know, unless you're really shocking them or they have bringing someone else in, I'm not sure how that would really fit, but he's good little D-man for sure.
Penner's Pancake said, and this is just pure rumor, but maybe you can speculate on this. He says there were rumblings that some core Oilers did not want CeCe or Fogle dealt. He says, not sure if Shager heard anything about that. Would that kind of chatter be going on in the room? And if so, to who? If there's rumblings about a guy on the way out that the team feels strongly about.
Well, they're a close team. They've had success. They've been through some battles, some playoff battles as a group. And it is hard, you know, and Shager just earlier talked about the chemistry in the room. You got to be careful with that. You don't want to just upset the entire chemistry to bring in upgrades or people you believe are upgrades. So, you know, the team, because are you stronger as individuals or stronger as a team? And I think that everyone knows that the team is the best way to do it. So I had heard those comments, and I actually, quite frankly, I like it. It means that the guys care about each other in there and what their goal is. And so again, you know, CeCe, I would like to see a little bit more of a puck mover, but you know, at the clear upgrade was he there. Now obviously Hanifin is and stuff, but you're not getting him anyways.
Okay. We lost Shager. We're very choppy on the stream. Somebody said, I can't find it now, but it did say this, this stream has more pauses than a Ken Holland interview. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, geez.
So our bad. Let's, I'm going to hit the music. I'm going to let you, I guess, probably call your own number here.
All right.
One more
time. Let's do the gem of the day. Let's do the gem of the day. And I don't want to call my number. I'm going to go with, who am I going to go with today? I will go with, you know, let's go with Ken Holland saying that he is going to have to add a seventh defenseman because that is leading head to what we're going to be doing or seeing and talking about in the next couple of days. So there you go. Ken Holland adding a seventh D-man.
Very nice. Well, I think we're going to hopefully clean up some of this stuff. It's not, I think I might be on a sabbatical here after this performance. Steve, I think, is going to be in tomorrow night, but we're going to be back, I believe, tomorrow night after the Columbus game. And I think we're waiting around for Brownie, so that'll be, we'll double check. We'll send a tweet out, get the time right. But of course, we thank everyone for sticking in on the stream. A choppy one tonight. We'll try to get that sorted out. Of course, the audio will be available. Go to the website. We'll send it out in the tweets, and you can go listen to the end of audio. All of this amazing stuff that some of the people in the stream might have missed, right, Strutty? What a day, Strutty. You want to take a final lap?
No, great day. It's just my shot was called. I got Adam Henrique. Man, fingers crossed it works out, or I'm going to look like an idiot. Talk to you guys tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.